You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. So hope you're having a good Monday wherever you are. I'm happy to be home. Welcome to the House of All Marine Radio. That houses the house of post-traumatic winning. I got home Saturday late afternoon. Colleen came and picked me up. Everything still intact. Jack and Joe, happy to see me. Always a good part of my homecoming when your dogs go crazy. All right, they're not like your kids, like, what's up? So last week was an awesome week. A few things that I think the more I do this, now I've done post-traumatic winning for over a year now, and probably done it for 40 to 50,000 people. Yeah. And I would tell you that a few things that you know, just continue to be reinforced for me whenever I do it. And one of them is how many destroyed families there are in the United States. And the statistics still say that, you know, between 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce, and an even higher percentage of second marriages end in divorce. So, yeah, so what does that tell you? If you don't get it right the first time, stay away from it the second time. Yeah, there you go. All you intrepid warriors. And I don't even want to go near the third marriage. Where does that end? So, yeah. But can't help but, you know, just, you know, wonder about that. I don't know, I'm 62 years old. I'm not supposed to be able to connect with young people yet. You know, it happens all the time. It happens all the time to me. And, and you know, and they come up and they tell you these stories. And the stories are absolutely amazing. The stories are absolutely amazing. And so... So it just, but there's so much of it, I guess, is the point of the point of the point. There's so much of it. And I see it, and they come up and they want to talk, and they are desperately looking, you know, they're desperately looking for a coach in life. And I don't, for whatever reason, you know, for whatever reason, it's like we're not good at it. And the reason I say that is that we're not good at it is because our suicide rate is the highest. The Marine Corps suicide rate is the highest in the DOD. 31 per 100,000 people. That ain't good. That is not good. And... You know, and coming in second is the Army at 24.7. That's how big the difference is. And, you know, and people can take issue if they want with me and this statement, but I believe that you know, it's when there's too much daylight between the people you lead and the leaders, in that daylight, bad things happen. And so I believe that the suicide rate is, I believe the suicide rate is, I mean, it's a leadership problem. And other people say, oh, you know, that's not, I don't believe that, and that's fine. But that's, I believe, look, I mean, when you're on a good team and you have good coaches and they're engaged with the players, it's one of the best experiences in your life, you know? Everybody remembers what it was like to play on a team like that. Yeah. Everybody remembers what it was like to play on a team like that. And so, you get out there, and I'll share some emails with you. I mean, I'm not going to obviously, I won't share them verbatim, and I certainly won't reveal anybody's identity. But I just want you to get a sense of some of the things that you know that people write me, and I mean, it's just honestly, it's astounding. You know, here's one. Good morning. I'm rank and last name. Thank you, sir, for the presentation yesterday. I really was in a low place. Over the last year, I lost 6 family members, all to natural causes, and I still cry every night. I always been the person to help others when they are down and need support. However, right now I feel that I'm in a much better place since yesterday. I would love to be a part of telling my story to other Marines so they could understand that they are not alone. I just want to say thank you, Mr. McNamara. It felt like you were talking to me throughout the whole presentation. I was holding back tears. Now, we've got to be able to reach, you know, young people like that. We absolutely, positively have to be able to reach young people like that. And to teach them that we have a way to deal with this stuff. And not only can you live a good life, you can live a great life. You can live a great life. Here's another one. Good evening, sir. This is XYZ. I don't know if you ever get tired of having Lance Corporals come up to you and just pour out everything to, I hope you have room for one more, because I have a million things I would like to talk to you about. Just hearing the testimonies from the other people that you've said, and I'd like to learn how to do what you do for my Marines that I am teaching and having a big impact on. them, one of the sergeant majors, on hearing how you talk, really reminded me of him. Every battalion formation I had while at whatever unit, when he was there, he would always tell us that he loves us. And let me just say that walking up to you to come thank you almost moved me to tears, and I couldn't stay in your presence too long. I would have cried. You mean a lot to so much people. Thank you so much for making the world go round a little bit smoother. Here's another one. Hi, I'm in the auditorium right now, and you're already helping me a lot. For the last year, I've told myself I'm the scraps from the table that they feed to the hogs, and not even the hogs want them. Here's another one. Good evening, sir. My name is XYZ. I'm a Lance Corporal stationed at XYZ. And just recently attended your post-traumatic winning speech. I've had a long line of bullshit up to this point in my life, and this class really spoke to me. It's honestly like it was meant to be, because I've been having an extremely hard time lately coping with somebody's death. He was also a Marine, an infantry reservist. Never saw combat, never deployed. He was the epitome of a weekend warrior, and I always loved to fuck with him. And he liked to fuck with me because I was a... And then he gives his MOS. But, and then here's a date. He took his own life right outside his other job. It fucked me up because his feet could have touched the ground. He left a note and said, and then he writes what his brother said. And at the end of what his brother says, he says this: "That's all that asshole said. What does that even mean? Ha 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 ha." But needless to say, this was the most traumatic event I've ever gone through. That kid was my fucking best friend. We literally did everything together, and I mean everything. Needless to say, my depression came back and took over my life for a long time. I drink myself to sleep every night. The people around me tried to get me help, but I refused to talk to anyone. Counselors were never my cup of tea. To be honest, I don't like their facial expressions. It makes me want to punch them in the face. But in all seriousness, this class really spoke to me, because I am at the level of happiness that you were speaking of. I hit fucking rock bottom. I lived it. And I bounced back and have helped thousands of people fight depression and suicide. Counseling never worked for me. I'd write lyrics, songs, words on paper, and one day I decided to actually do something with those words. And I put what I was feeling into a song. I don't know if you will ever see this, but if you do, I just want to say thank you. You gave me my purpose back and reminded me that I give a fuck in this world. I'm going to attach a link to the song I wrote. It's my version of a song by an artist that goes by NF. If you'd like to show it at your seminar or your radio show, or just listen by yourself, be my guest. I'm not looking for publicity or for any benefits. I just want to help people. Thanks again, sir. Signs his name. Amazing, right? Here's another one that's really long. I wanted to reach out because I was in the class today, going over everything you talked about and just thinking all day. Just like I'm sure 90% of the people in the room, I at first didn't want to be there. I've been messed up mentally since one of my Marines killed themselves, and I was the first to respond to it. It was a group of us that did the work on him, attempted to keep him stabilized, got him back twice, all this while rapping And he talks a little bit about it. The worst part, I was the last one to speak to him and told him he was just disappointed. I always think me being first to work on him was payback for what I said. Now I know people go through this every day. What's worse is I'm an O3 by trade with no combat experience. And this is what I deal with. I signed up with hopes of taking the fight to the enemy. Putting a round in their face is what I told the recruiter. I didn't sign up for this part, though it still kills me every day. I feel weak just for this alone, and I had a panic attack while on leave thinking about this incident. I cried in front of my wife, my mom, my sister. In my family, we are taught to show no weakness, and I broke down after a few drinks. It's actually why I stay away from getting drunk. I used to live on my own in the barracks, and after nights out with guys, I would cry myself to sleep because all I would do is think of him. Of what I've said, I blamed it on myself. No matter how many times I'm told it's not my fault, no matter the fact I learned that he had issues before joining, I blame myself. I should have paid more attention. I should have said what I said. I shouldn't have said what I said. The 3-year anniversary is coming up. I haven't gone a day not thinking about it. Literally, not one day. I see the blood. I hear the gurgle. I remember his eyes, the gasps, the convulsions. I remember death every day, and it stresses me out. I've been wanting to talk to my guys that were there, but they seem just fine, and we know how Marines are. Going to them in my head is not an option. I have my friends that are out, but to them, I'm the rock. I'm the one that holds people down. Hell, I got friends that come to me to talk about their problem, so I can't put my issues on them. I talk to my wife, but I feel disconnected. My mom is over-religious. One therapist just expects me to be in my feelings about the whole thing. I just got to my unit last year, so talking to the guys here, to me, is not an option. I don't trust easy, and honestly, me not seeing combat through the Marine Corps really makes me not want to talk to anyone higher. Then the Marine in me, and the day I was raised says to get, and the way I was raised says to get over it every day. I didn't mean for this to be so long. I just kept typing. I don't know what you can say to this. The issue in my head is that all I think is I'm just another guy trying to pass shit off to you. That I'm just a pussy for thinking this way and need to get over it. This is what I always expect. Truly, this is the first time I've ever written this stuff down. I've ever thought it through. If you get this far, thank you. I know my best thing to do this week is to help. It's in the works. I just can't get myself to actually take the step forward. I mean, that gives you some sample of, you know, I mean, the messages, you know, that I get, you know, every day. You know, phone calls from young people. They've been raped. You know, their families have domestic violence in them, like my family has in mine. I told a story of meeting a Marine who grew up in the Philippines who told me his mom, you know, his stepmom abused he and his younger sister when he was 6, she was 4. And she used to cut the inside of their mouths. You know, stuff you don't really understand. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is I think most people don't realize how much of this stuff there is. I think most people think that because we kind of go through it and we fake it and, you know, we get through the day that, you know, that's the way life is. Life is like that. And my experience is that life isn't like that. that there is so much of this stuff in, you know, in our culture. And, you know, we've got to, we somehow have to be better coaches. You know, we have to be better coaches for everybody. And I don't know, it just doesn't, it doesn't seem like we are. It doesn't seem like we are. And you know, I make the point about formations. You know, again, I heard it, you know, from, you know, staff NCOs. Yeah, and we don't have formation. Well, how do you know what they're doing? How do you see if their uniforms are jacked up? How do you see if McNamara, who's normally runs this suck, all of a sudden McNamara is not saying a word? And so what are you telling me, that that a young Marine, a first-term Marine, is going to pay attention to that stuff? Like, you know, like a, you know, like a Marine who's been here, you know, for 10, 12 years? You know, and the answer to that is, you know, is no, of course not, right? You know, we know the answer to that. That's not how it works. So, anyhow, I want to share that with you because I hope those of you that listen to this will be inspired, and what you'll be inspired by is the amount of pain that's out there, and to be motivated to do more. To be motivated to be a better coach, to be motivated to listen more, because that's what they desperately need. You know, that's what they desperately need. And like I said, I mean, I'm 62 years old. I'm not supposed to be able to connect to people this age. You know, I mean, earlier tonight, I was talking to a woman whose fiancé was there, lives in Kentucky, sent me an email, and I answered it and, you know, told her to call me. You know, talked to another girl who, you know, who a female Marine, and, you know, she'd been raped, and so living with the aftermath of that. And again, I'm not supposed to be somebody that they reach out to, but they do, and they do it, you know, all the time. Why? Because you have the courage to stand up and say, "Hey, this is what I've been through." Well, then to me, what that means is that we all should say that. And we all should say it right now. You know, don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid to talk about what, you know, the shit in your life. You know, and because, let me tell you, I mean, I can't tell you, I mean, you've heard me say it ad nauseum, but I'll say it again right now. I can't tell you how good it feels, you know, to go ahead and help somebody else out. Right? And help somebody else out. Especially, you know, somebody who, somebody who, you know, who needs help, who really needs help. And so, you know, we can do better. I mean, to me, in the Marine Corps, when you are leading the league in suicide and you're leading it by, you know, five per 100,000 people, I mean, come on, you know, come on, that's, it's not just embarrassing, you know, it's way worse than that. It's a condemnation of our leadership. It's disengaged leadership. It's requiring lots, but not giving them what they, you know, what they need. And so, again, I hope those emails, in some way, shape, or form, motivate people. Motivate people to, you know, to talk about this stuff, to help other people, because it is, And I, again, until you run into it all the time, I just don't think most people realize how much pain there is out there. And I would tell you there's a ton of it. There's an absolute positive ton of it. So I know it's, you know, I know that's a kind of a sober open. most time it's my opens are about other things, but you know, I did post traumatic winning, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times over the course of last week. And I met people. My Marines stand in line for an hour to talk to me afterwards, you know, and they just, they're so hurt and they're isolated because they believe that, you know, if you talk about your shit, you're weak. And so, you know, what I've come to understand about the importance of post-traumatic winning is this. It's so important to stand up as a leader and set an example that you can talk about your shit. It's so important as a leader to set an example that, you know, being damaged is okay. That you can go on with your life, you can do good things, and being good to go doesn't mean you're chrome and leather, and you know, chrome and leather. You're chrome and brass and you know, all good stuff. You know, you can be good to go and you can have dents in you, but you know how to put together, you know. You know how to put together, you know how to make it work, you know how to do it, but you're not perfect. And I think that's so important, is to set that example of what it is to, you know, what it is to be good, yet not perfect. And I think that's the example that they've got to see. And I don't rightly know that they see it enough. So, Just some encouragement. All right. On that note, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning, which happens to be the 13th day of January in the year of 2020, official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to all the people that sent me email. I mean, who I hope and pray the message they heard was not only can you live a good life, you can live a great life. I hope they heard that loud and clear. I hope that's why they reached out. I hope that they got some sense of hope out of the path that post-traumatic winning lays out, right? You know, written by Marines about how you can do this. So this is dedicated to all of them, that I hope and pray that that's what you got out of 3 hours that your command invested in you, hoping that you would take this and make something better out of your life, and that you would use those lessons to touch the lives of other people and then improve your life even further. So this is to all those people who wrote, all those people who called, all those people who came up. And, you know, you're certainly in my thoughts and prayers because I've been one of you. And I know you can do it. And not only can you do it, you can touch the lives of other people as well. So this is dedicated to you all.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
Now, I've been delinquent in my shithole weather responsibilities, and I'm acutely aware of that. But I'm not sure that we're going to be able to do shithole weather today because this is actually being recorded early. Because as you listen to this, I just started doing post-traumatic winning down at Camp Pendleton. Yeah, how about that? Through the wonders of technology. That's right. I'm in two places at one time. Star Trek shit. That's right. Beam me up, Scotty. Scoy. Anyway, we'll take a break. And when we come back, I'll do weather. Maybe shithole weather. Maybe not. More Balmarine Radio coming up next on a Monday in the year 2020, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears. When I reach there, I'll scream, yeah, I'll let it all out. But right now, it's just me.
P. Davis here on a Monday morning. But we got to do weather right now. So we got to play the weather music. That's right. That's how that shit works. And I'm happy to say that I finally get a shithole weather update. Yeah! And you won't believe this one. Shithole weather is expeditionary. Yeah, it's in the Pacific. Shithole weather is pivoted to the specific like everybody else. Yeah, Chris Cox, normally in Massachusetts. Dude is in Hawaii. That's right. Wailea, Maui, Hawaii. Pronounced Wailea. 106 miles southwest of Marine Corps Base Camp Smith. And the picture is, I believe, of the airport. Aloha. Welcome to Maui. Nice. I've never been there, but I'm supposed to go in April. Yeah, I'm fired up about that. Yeah, I'm going a place I've never been before. Orlando, Florida. Never been there. I don't know that I've ever been to Biloxi, Mississippi. I've probably been through Biloxi, though. And then, yeah, I'm going to get out to camps. I'm going to get out to Hawaii. But I'm going to hang with the Air Force. Yeah. Knocking that nasty Marine Corps shit off myself. Gonna be with the Air Force. That's right. Gonna live right. Current conditions in Hawaii. Dark, 75 degrees Fahrenheit. Looking for a high of 80 today. Winds will be out of the east at 15 with gusts up to 25. Cloudy and rain expected. Why not? In parentheses, it's been raining since Friday. Partial clearing hoped for by the midweek. Chris from Webster. Out. Look, the dude has lost his mind, okay? We... one time we hear from him. You know, and I talked about Chris, you know, last week when I was doing post-traumatic winning. And, you know, I mean, his story is an unbelievable story to go. I think the last scale shot I saw was, I want to say, 238, down from 500 pounds. The story is amazing. And, you know, and one of the coolest emails I've ever got, he sent, and he talked about finding All Marine Radio, reconnecting to his tribe, you know, finding himself again, and part of him, you know, is the part of him that's a Marine. And so, awesome stuff. So, have a good time there, bro. Cowabunga. The weather here on this Monday morning. Now, it's a little bit earlier than I normally do the weather. So, as I do this, don't tell anybody, but it's 5:11 Pacific time, which is about 3.5 hours before I normally get to this part of the program. So currently in Quantico, it is 40 and 45. Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune is cloudy and 65. Wow. 29 palms. On the western side of the United States is clear, dark, and 37. That's cold, man. When it's in the 30s in Southern California, no bueno. Camp Pendleton, where I'm headed here in about 30 minutes, is cloudy and 47 degrees. Camp Smith in Hawaii, that has 3 weather alerts, so we have to investigate that. Dark, cloudy, and 74 right now. Wow. Great time to go to Hawaii. Flash flood watch, high surf advisory, and a small craft advisory. So as Chris said, it's been raining. Yeah, no kidding. Wow. Let's see. Further to the west, because we go east to west on this flight. Dark, cloudy, and 59 in Okinawa. Okinawa, you don't see in the 50s very often. In the Helmand Province, late in the day, it is cloudy, evening falling, and 39 degrees in the Helmand Province of Afghanistan. It's cold there, man. Yeah. Helmand in Afghanistan is... the weather's almost identical to 29 Palms. Hot, in the summer, dry though, and then you know, cold in the winter, but dry as well. And then in southwest of that, a few time zones away, in Ramadi, in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is cloud. It is raining. And 60 degrees currently at the home of All Marine Radio. It is cloudy, dark, 51 degrees, looking for a high of 65 today with partly sunny skies. And partly sunny skies in California means it's like sunny all over the place. Yeah, I don't know. Like they say it's partly sunny, and you walk outside, and there's like four clouds between L.A. and Orange County. Like, I think weathermen just get tired of like saying the same thing, so they like make shit up. That's my theory on the whole thing. Currently, on Tuesday, sunny and 65. That means there'll be three clouds, and then four clouds again on Wednesday. We're back to partly cloudy, but up to 66, which I'm a fan of. All right, we are going to do today the top five stories in Early Bird, and as I said, then I'm headed to do post-traumatic winning with the Marine Wing Support Squadron 372 down at Camp Pendleton, and so I'll head down there. You will spend some time with Grant Newsham, and let me tell you, let me just tease Grant. Grant, for the first time in the years. In the years that I've known him, clicks off safe. Yeah, clicks off safe. You don't want to miss it, trust me. And the subject, I asked the question is, you know, the Army, right, has pivoted to the Pacific as well. And that, that lights a boiler under Grant that, you know, I feel bad about in a way, because if I'd known that he had those kind of issues relative to that question, I would have asked that son of a bitch a long time ago. After the interview, I was like, damn, how did I not see that one coming? So, so some headlines. Congress overrules Pentagon's plan to limit service members' GI Bill benefit transfer to dependents. You know, I don't like politicians very much, except when they do the right thing. Pentagon pension money, and it's bullshit. The Pentagon was going to prohibit you from transferring your GI Bill benefits if you had more than 16 years of service in the military. Why? Because they wanted to use it as an incentive to reenlist people, but not as a benefit if you spent, you know, the majority of your adult life serving. What kind of shit is that? Yeah. What kind of shit is that? Unbelievable. And Congress said, yeah, that ain't happening. So congratulations to the member of Congress, members of Congress. You don't do shit right very often, but that was the right thing to do. This next story makes me want to vomit. Headline, board report. Board finds no reason to separate USS Fitzgerald lieutenant for role in the fatal collision. A Navy lieutenant faulted for her role in the USS Fitzgerald collision will not be forced from the Navy, but allowed to exit with an honorable discharge instead, a board of inquiry has decided. Lieutenant Natalie Combs, a tactical action officer aboard the guided missile destroyer, was censured in April for failure to perform her duties that day. The destroyer collided. She's censored. She's in the Combat Information Center. She's a tactical action officer. Her job would be to fight the ship. She's not even communicating with the bridge. The Fitzgerald is going to cross the first night at sea, out of port, under the command of a new CO, a new XO. They're going to cross a busy shipping lane, and she's not even paying attention. She never communicates with the bridge. And then as a result, right, people die. people die. The destroyer collided with the container ship ACX Crystal, 60 nautical miles southwest of Yokosuka, where the warship was based. 7 sailors died. So she didn't perform her duties, but yeah, go ahead and stay in. A Navy Board of Inquiry on Thursday found no reason to force Combs from the Navy after 11 years of service. Holy shit. She was supposed to be court-martialed, and then the court-martial was dropped, along with the court-martial of the commanding officer, Bryce Benson, because the Navy fucked that up. Admiral Richardson making comments and all kinds of other stupid shit. Combs' letter, her the one that said censured her, accused her of demonstrating incompetent and ineffective leadership or failure to perform her duties, ineffective communication, and failure to make recommendations to the bridge watch team, which was her job, and 7 people died. But she doesn't need to get booted out of the Navy. Didn't stand court-martial. So she gets a bad piece of paper. What are we going to do with that? Roll it up and stick it in her eye? That's the only way that's going to hurt her. A Navy report in late 2017 said the accident was preventable. You know, just bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Makes me want to vomit. Nobody's fault. And from Afghanistan over the weekend, 2 soldiers were killed when their vehicle hit an IED. Staff Sergeant Ian Paul McLaughlin, 29 years old, of Newport News, Virginia, and PFC Miguel Angel Villalon, 21, of Joliet, Illinois, died after an IED struck their vehicle, according to the 82nd Airborne. The soldiers were assigned to an element of the 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne. They were killed in southern Afghanistan. Two other soldiers were wounded in the attack, which occurred in the southern province of Kandahar. Both young guys. The Kandahar would be one province east of Helmand. They were right next door. In fact, big air base in Kandahar. If you got shot in the head, if you got shrapnel to the head, you went straight to Kandahar, stabilized you, and then boom, on an airplane that took you to Kandahar. So Kandahar, not right next door, but by C-130, it might be 35, 40-minute flight. Top stories in Marine Corps Times, real quick. And there's nothing there. Sorry about that. Top 5 stories in Early Bird. Number 1, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper says he never saw evidence of threats against 4 U.S. embassies. Yeah, this story made the rounds on Sunday when he was asked on one of those Sunday morning talk shows about some of the things that President Trump has asserted. Right? While only citing intelligence about the threat in Baghdad, Esper told CBS's Margaret Brennan that his opinion wasn't based on any specific intelligence citing threats against four embassies. Quote, I didn't see one with regard to the four embassies, he said. My expectation was they were probably going after our embassies. Probably and could have been, Brennan said, quoting Esper, sounded more like assessments than evidence. Well, the president didn't say. He didn't cite a specific piece of evidence, Esper said. So anyway, you know, what's extremely, I don't know, it's just more of the same, but, you know, everything that happens that Donald Trump is involved in is not measured by whether it's right or wrong. It's simply measured through the lens of do you like him or not like him. And that's the way that is. And it's not about the truth about the issue. It is do you like him or do you not like him. It is not understanding the issue and the dynamic of Iran in the region, American power in the region, American interest in the region. It is only can you play this game with Donald Trump, right? Can you play this game? And again, nobody plays it as good as him. And trust me, Donald Trump, he will not slow down. He will not backtrack from that. He will make three other assertions today. And whatever, you know, he said 3 days ago will be lost in the tsunami, right, of Twitter and all the rest of the 24/7 news cycle. But that's the game. And the media, man, I mean, and what's interesting is CNN's ratings, you know, given that that's their mission in life. CNN's ratings are horrible. Yeah, interesting. Now, second story, top five. Soldiers killed by bomb blast in Afghanistan were identified. Number three, U.S. leaders dismiss Iraqi request to remove all military forces. You know, let me just say this. U.S. military leaders should shut up, right? That request, all that does is give this story legs, right? So, to me, here's the appropriate response from U.S. military leaders, right? That is, we have nothing to say. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Friday said U.S. military forces aren't preparing to completely withdraw from Iraq, but may trim down force numbers in coming months as officials reassess ongoing missions there. Okay, so again, until the President of the United States says something, we have nothing to say. Number four, Russian Navy ship aggressively approached U.S. warship. Now, again, in case you haven't paid attention to this shit for years, the Russians do this all the time. Right? They played bumper cars pulling, you know, their destroyers and frigates alongside our ships and bounce off them. Right? The Russians love it. Right? In the Black Sea, you know, primarily I've seen it in you know, the video of that kind of shit in the Black Sea. But so it goes. But, you know, if it's great video, come on, everybody loves it. Number five, more than a dozen Saudi servicemen to be expelled from the U.S. after review of December shooting at Naval Air Station. You know, and the thing that irritates me about this is that it took somebody to get killed for somebody to take a look at this shit. It's not like we didn't see the way they treated us. Their arrogance. They're like, I'm not going to participate, you know, and all the rest of that shit. And now, you know, instructors have to scream, you know, I should be allowed to carry a weapon. Yeah, stupid. On a military base. They should go to the armory, check out their sidearm, right? Condition one, that thing. Teach. And at the end of the day, you know, take it over to the armory, turn it back in. Headlines from the Iran confrontation. U.S. tried and failed to take out Iranian Quds leader in Yemen. The same day as we whacked Mr. Soleimani, U.S. officials said on Friday. I don't even know why this is a headline. Iran says it unintentionally shot down the Ukrainian jet. That's a story in the Associated Press this morning. Number three, verified video show plane in Iran impacted before downing. Number four, 7 days in January, how Trump pushed U.S. and Iran to the brink of war. I just, you know, these stories to me are so hysterical. And, you know, the question is, how many times do you turn the other cheek? Uh-oh, listen to this. I told you, Swiss back channel helped defuse U.S.-Iran crisis. Remember I told you this shit got back channeled? Hours after a U.S. strike killed Iranian Major General Qassem Soleimani, the Trump administration sent an urgent back-channel message to Tehran, don't escalate. The encrypted fax sent via the Swiss embassy in Iran, one of the few means of direct confidential communication between the two sides, according to U.S. official. And then the story goes away because you got to pay $200 a year if you want to read the Wall Street Journal. I told you, man, nothing happens by chance, all right? Nothing happens by chance. Next headline, Iran fallout deepens rift between Washington and Europe. Yeah, Europe wanted to do business there. And then let me tell you, at some point when Iran gets inside of its box because the United States shoves it there, and then, you know, then Europe is able to do business, it'll all be good. And Europe will not participate nor assist in one way, shape, or form. Bullshit. Europe is bullshit. And you know what? To be honest with you, Europe is dying, okay? The glory of Germany and France? Pff, whatever, dude. Defying police, Iranians protest over the plane shoot down. Now, again, for the Iranians, they're not just protesting the shoot down. They're getting out in the street again. And there's video this morning on the news. There's video this morning on the news of Iranian police shooting at the demonstrators. There's another story. A crashes grim echoes of Iran Flight 655. And Flight 655 was 30 years ago. And was shot down by a United States Navy warship. The USS Vincennes, if I'm not mistaken. And again, I told you, when I was in the region in 1987, we were consciously aware of what came out of two Iranian airfields that were also adjacent, right, used for commercial airlines, and they're called Bandar Abbas and Chabahar, that there would be a military flight that would take off, that would attack us, right? It would fly, come, you know, go wheels up out of the commercial airport, fly along, the sky has lanes in it. That's how people fly. Yeah, and the sea has lanes in it, right? International shipping lanes, you hear that. Yeah, you don't just freestyle around the world. I mean, it's organized. So anyway, and then all of a sudden, with an American warship underneath, as they took off, headed out over the Persian Gulf, it would then deviate and attack. So that was always something that you watched when you were in the region. And that's how the thing with the Vincennes happened. Next headline from the Washington Post. Killing of Soleimani reflects an aggressive national security team not inclined to curb Trump. More piercing analysis from the Washington Post. Troops on Middle East snap deployment may be entitled to these extra pays. Nice. Hezbollah, it's time for Iran's allies to start working to avenge Soleimani. Just remember the Vito Corleone admonition, right? My son gets shot in the head while he's in jail. No, by a cop. He hangs himself while in jail, or he gets struck by lightning. I'm coming after you. All right, that is a look at your weather. We'll take a break, and when we come back, Grant Newsham will join us here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.